Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
This weekend was our yearly meeting sessions. It was the 200th yearly meeting for Indiana Yearly. Now, 1820, people have been gathering the Indiana Quaker churches together for our 200th time. And perhaps you've heard, maybe not, but Doug Shoemaker has announced his retirement at the end of this year, which he will be replaced by Pat Byers. And Pat, who has worked alongside our church, has been a blessing for a while. He's going to be taking the reins at the beginning of 2021. We talked about what's our move during COVID time, and is there any direction from our top leadership? And there was some good direction, as well as kind of just gathering and assessing information that, as we're trying to kind of lean on counsel around us, and also move with courage and confidence, knowing that God's good and that He oversees His family, that He's running His house, His church, and how do we kind of balance all of those points? I want to go into that this morning and kind of share where we are today. And I don't want to come across overly heavy. However, these aren't light times. And so I'll try my best to kind of have some joy and some jovial spirit about it, but also to kind of address some seriousness of where we currently are. How many of y'all know that the times in which we live shape us? The decade that you were born in helped shape you. What was going on politically helped form a mindset. What the entertainment options were helped kind of guide what was enjoyable, what was funny or humorous. The times definitely shape us. I'm watching my kids right now being shaped by the normalcy of seeing people wear masks. We're used to, you walk in, you thought somebody was going to rob the store. And people are wearing full face masks and necktie, you know, they go around the neck. Or you thought, man, that person is really ill, and you might have compassion on them. It was the anomaly, not the norm. And so the times in which my kids are being raised are shifting them. And to pay attention to the times is wise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 32, it says, "The sons of Issachar, these were men who understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do." And I think it's the same approach that we ought to have as believers. Not that we should know what Israel should do, we should know what America should do. And maybe you're thinking, I don't have influence over America. Then we should think specifically, we should understand the time to know what our community should do. You're thinking, I still don't have much sway in my community. Okay? You need to understand the times and think, how will you lead your home? And you still might be thinking, shoot, I don't have much authority there either. But understand the times and figure out how you should lead yourself. Some sort of leadership is required in this moment. And in a world where we're trying to produce a bunch of sheep to follow, we need some leaders that have some resolve, that can lead with a ton of grace, and yet can lead with guts and grit. That don't dance back and forth on decisions, but can make a decision, and that can lead with all the wisdom, research, and counsel they have, and be able to move forward confidently. So the times in which we live are very interesting times. When we look back on maybe some times that have shaped y'all, maybe the decades that we were born into. You look at the 1920s and the 1930s. Not much money. Times were frugal. We're going through the Great Depression. This was when the flappers were coming out. Anybody remember those times? I still remember whenever we had one of our Halloween parties and my cousin Courtney showed up dressed up like a flapper. I love it. But the mentality then was, we don't have much. And so that mindset mindset has just been such a frugal mindset. To talk to somebody like Joanne Peacock is, first of all, a riot, but second of all, incredibly insightful. Here is a woman who has done fairly well for herself and who is incredibly frugal because of the time in which she was raised. We go into the 40s and 50s, and we're coming through World War II. Technology really began taking off during this time. For the first time in a long time, there was a lift in morale in our country. There was a lift in the economy. There was a spike in kind of the dreamer, and people began to dream again. We began to lift our eyes to the skies. This was the start of the baby boomer years, and the boomers began to look way up as they shot for outer space. It was the development of the jet engine, nuclear fusion, the creation of the radar, rocket technology, space exploration, the improvement of air travel. Through the 40s and 50s, it seemed like all the attention was in the sky. In the 1940s, a new house cost about $4,000. And by the end of the generation, or the, I'm sorry, the end of the decade, it was about $7,500. I remember my grandfather, Mike Meyer, when he first bought his home out there on 37, just north of Liberty Elementary School. He paid a whopping $12,000 for that house with 3 acres, and his father told him, "You are a fool. You'll never be able to pay that off in your lifetime." 1940, the average income per year. Isn't that wild? $1,700. By the end of the decade, it's about $3,000. 1940s, a gallon of gas was 11 cents. Anybody want to go back to that? Hey, here's a dime. By the end of the decade, 17 cents. The 1940s, the average cost of a new car, $850. By the end, 1400. The 1940s were the movement of some television like The Ed Sullivan Show, The Lone Ranger. Did anybody get into those shows? We saw the 1950s, which was the kind of the down move of, we also got I Love Lucy here, and Roy Rogers going on. The 1950s was the time we took down Stalin, and it was the moving up of Churchill. This was the time of builders, when businesses and homes and really churches were being built at a massive scale in America, and church additions. Perhaps you were part of a few of the church additions here, or at least your family was. We've had about 3 to 4 additions here, if you're counting our elevator as well. It's called the innocence restored to America after much of it taken away through the Depression and through World War II. Yet, by the middle of the 50s, the innocence was tampered with, as many of our young men were taken to Vietnam. The 1960s, they called this the love generation. It was the generation that did not receive much love at home, and so they went out looking for it. They went out looking for love, peace, and harmony. And y'all were during the 60s rocking those linen summer suits, which I thought I would show up in one today. With the, behind the pulpit, but a little bit of a wide leg. Linen summer, I'll tell you, I feel amazing. I don't even know that I have anything on. The Volkswagen Beetle went for $1,700. A Ford Mustang two-door hardtop. Come on, Dennis Garland. $2,400. The Beatles just released their first single, "Love Me Do." Anybody remember that? Heathens, I'll tell you. Just kidding. A couple of TV shows out: The Andy Griffith Show, Dick Van Dyke, The Flintstones. How about that? Gilligan's Island, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, The Brady Bunch. And while I may not have been alive in the 60s, these are shows that helped form my mindset. I started getting a mindset and understanding just the simpler times. As y'all see some of these pictures, anybody want to go back and say, man, it was a little simpler in those days? We saw a movement. Martin Luther King, when he came on the scene, and he had a dream, and it was reconciliation. Whether Jews or Gentiles, Protestants or Catholics, white or black, men or women would come together with a heart of unity. The 1970s, the average cost of a new house was $23,000. We saw a spike as we began to see progress happen in America. Back then, the houses were built with front porches because there was intentionality to sit together, to be seen on the street, and as people are walking by the sidewalks, you just come and sit with them and have a cup of iced tea. Since then, we don't build houses with front porch, we build them with back decks. That's neither here nor there. Don't romanticize the platform on which you choose to sit. But it's just interesting that now we move to the back, or possibly a little more privacy instead of being out front. The average income then was $9,500 a year. The cost of gas was 36 cents. A post stamp, 6 cents. That would be nice, wouldn't it? A couple of shows, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the Bob Newhart Show, Dukes of Hazzard, kind of formed the 70s. The 80s, y'all think your generation was the best generation to grow up in. I kind of like the time that I came and grew up in the 80s and 90s. We said that we were going to town. That really meant something big. To go to town, for me, it was like to go to Fairmount or Marion, because we lived out in Rigdon. We saw the Reagan years, the crashing down of communism, the end of the Cold War. I grew up in some of the largest leaps in technology like we've never seen with the invention of Microsoft and Apple. In the 80s, we had Alf, MTV, Cheers, Knight Rider. I got a bunch of them because the 80s TV was awesome. The Cosby Show, Family Ties, the A-Team, come on, MacGyver, make it. Bomb with a piece of bubble gum and paperclip. Growing Pains, The Golden Girls, Full House, The Wonder Years, Family Matters, and hey, Saved by the Bell. Still would be Zach Morris. The 90s came. The house went for $123,000. By the end of the decade, $132,000. The average income per year was $29,000. By the end of the decade, $40,000 was the average income. Through the 90s, the market was rocking. Shows like, y'all ready? Tracy is so fired up right now. 90210, Fresh Prince, Home Improvement. How about The Late Show with David Letterman, one of our Hoosiers from Ball State? Dawson's Creek helped me get through junior high and high school. Dawson and Pacey, thanks for others. Then we come to the 2000s. The average cost of a new house, $135,000. Post-stamp, 33 cents. Shows like CSI, American Idol, Extreme Makeover, Extreme Home Makeover, Ty Pennington. I love that dude. Just wild, like a shaking up Red Bull everywhere he went. 2010, we had shows like The Voice. How about William and Kate's Royal Wedding? Or Duck Dynasty, you probably couldn't have two different approaches to life than royalty and Louisiana. And now here we are in the 2020s, 100 years later, we're back to the roaring 20s. And man, did they start with a roar. Here we are now at halftime of this game. And what a crazy first half it's been, right? This year has been marked by Trump, Corona, and racial tension. This year is a tough year. We've seen some of our friends get sick, and one of my friends, one of our church friends, my neighbor for many years, Ruth Lewis, passed away. At the annual meeting, we have a time where we do this memorial, and I did have it. I don't know what I did with it. There it is. We have these memorials that we share. And we just mention the names of people who have passed away in the last year. And Ruth Lewis being one of them. I remember running up and down the sidewalk with my kids. We would always race, and I would always lose, and they would always laugh. And there's Ruth Lewis looking out her kitchen window, watching our life go back and forth as she kind of peeked in. There was such a joy that she would have as she kind of looked in on the younger years. And I would sit with her. She would talk about what the days are like now. I would pick her brain what the days were like back then. And if you don't know to understand the times, it's helpful so we know what to do. If we want to be like, which I believe we do, the sons of Issachar, and we want to know how to lead through this time, and as we specifically talk about the church, how do we lead through the church days? It's helpful. It's healthy to have, I believe, a tombstone theology. What do you want said on your tombstone? What do you want said about your obituary? Might even be fun to even write your obituary. You were born in this time. How'd you handle the times? How'd you live courageously during these times? How'd you live fearful during these times? How'd you raise up your family? How did you see the brokenness of your family and then try to recover back family? What did you do during your days? In just a couple of weeks, my wife is going to turn 40 years old, y'all. Gosh, that's so young for this church. When she turns 40, she will have lived 14,586 days. If you're 80, 29,196 days. King David tells us, he says, you need to number your days. You need to count the days and make the days count. We need to gain a heart of wisdom. Ecclesiastes would say it this way, it's better to go to funerals than it is to go to parties. Because when you go to parties, all you think about is just laughing and screwing around having fun and everything's just a joke. But whenever you come to funerals, things get incredibly serious and intentional. Because you realize that this thing is a vapor. It's here and it's gone in a moment. Funerals bring focus to make a life that matters. And while we can't relive the 60s, what do you want said about you and how you lived this day? We face our nation as it's split in two. There's attacks from outside. There's attacks from inside. And how will your days be marked? Not just the larger days of America, specifically your days. Are you being torn apart on the inside? Or in the midst of the storm, do you find rest and peace in the boat, knowing that you're with Jesus? What kind of passion did you bring? Or did you live with fear? Did you sit in front of your TV panicking? Did you try to get your body healthy so that you could thrive during these times? Did we point the fingers into the health crisis as everybody else's fault? Or did I own my own health and try to get better in the midst of pandemic? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'll tell you, if you don't have soundness in your mind, if you don't have a strong mindset, fear can sneak in. And I just ask you, all of the fear, where'd the fear come from? Did Jesus give you that spirit of fear? Is he the one stoking the flame of your fear? Where is the fear coming from? What are the sources that are feeding all of the unrest? And perhaps we need to put a plug on those sources that are stirring within us. There should be a voice much louder speaking to the inner man, telling you who you are and how to properly live during this. Understand the times, and this is how we're going to live during these times. Is it from CNN or Fox that's making you fearful? Is it your neighbor who thinks he's a health expert and who's feeding your fear? During these times, we gather information, we educate ourselves, and we need to faith up. We need to pray up, and we need to be like an arrow shot at the center of this thing, not fleeing, but running toward and nailing it in this time. You might want to go back to the 60s. I'll tell you, this is a rich time This is the time, and you don't have an option. We're not going back. Today is the day that we've been given. And so we can negotiate, I wish I would have, could have, should have, wished, and hoped, and praying ain't going to work. We're alive today. And if we know that life is short and we have this moment, how now shall we live? We need to get after it today. Not regressing, but being in attack mode of life. So I ask the question, how do we gather information and how do we lead? Because trust me, I have never lived through a pandemic before. I don't know. But here's what we're doing. I can gather all the information, what's going on today. How do we do ministry? We open the church. Do we mandate face masks for everyone? Gather information on sanitation. Our cleaning crew is doing a phenomenal job. Thankful for the smalls as they're doing extra work to try to keep our facilities clean. But here's the deal. Like gathering information that you would for a business, and you've got spreadsheets, and you've got your P&L, and this thing makes money, this thing doesn't make money. I'll tell you, I could lay out all the spreadsheets in front of you and say, Judah, I'll put it in front of a third grader. Judah, this makes money and this doesn't. What should we do? A third grader would do. But that's not leadership. Leadership is gathering information, leaning on the council around you, assessing risk, and making decisions that you can confidently stand behind, and being ready to handle the fallout if your decision is wrong. That's leadership. It's not always cut and dry. It's not always easy on a spreadsheet. Sometimes it's leading in the unknowns, but not wishy-washy, confidently. And being ready to handle the feedback if maybe you missed it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Can I encourage you, before you hop on your news feed in the morning, would you first seek the kingdom of God? Before you seek everybody else's opinion about the kingdom of America? God is not committed to the kingdom of America. He's committed to the kingdom of God. He's committed to his people. He's committed to the word of God. And he wants his people to have the same commitment as well. And I just want to provoke the flame within you. How should I live during these times? We need to seek the kingdom of God. We need to live within the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that we'll endure. Our monthly meeting gathered this last Sunday. And we discussed the state of our country and the state of our church in the midst of COVID. But I told you at the beginning of the year that the government would tell churches that you have to close your doors for months on end, or you will be fined or arrested. We would have been the ones in the streets protesting. We would have been the ones going bonkers. But because we got fed the scripts, little pieces at a time, we followed along, being good neighbors. We did even more work trying to record sermons and shut down services, do creative things with children's ministry. We did extra work to try to come into obedience. We did the discipleship online. We wrote cards. We made phone calls. It was hard to not. It's hard to pastor a church when the church doesn't meet. And even though we did all those things, I don't know that we did a good job, honestly, pastoring our people. And it's still hard to pastor people when they don't come to church. When we reopened, we moved forward with caution. We cleaned our facilities and everything. We offer surgical masks. We offer hand sanitation. We have realized that some people are at home and they're just struggling. There's loneliness, isolation. We're told to social distance. It should have been called physical distance. We should not social distance. We need to socially engage. People are sucking the wind out there. People are dying out there because they don't have any socialization. Doesn't mean that we can't engage and have phone calls and things. People are hurting. I asked with the most sincere heart of our monthly meeting that if Corona spikes again, that we would not close. That we would be a house of hope for our community, for the healthy and for the weak. We've done different things. We don't have our greeting time because people are cautious about shaking hands and giving hugs. We're aware of that. And if you notice, we haven't had a greeting time since the middle of March. It's killing me. One of all of you, I walk up, are you hugging, are you not? Are you bumping? Are you elbows? What are you doing? No, just stand over there, got it. say we want to come to church, but we don't necessarily feel comfortable. Our monthly meeting said, can we set up a section just for them? And they offered the idea, could our rocker sit in our east wing, where they could come right up our elevator, sit in the east wing, and still be a part of our church family, which we said a resounding yes. We would love to have them back. We can make accommodations for people. Scott, we might have to find somewhere else to go. Kathy said this whenever she started worship. She said, I don't know where I fit, but I fit with Jesus. And I want you to know, you fit with Jesus, and you should fit in your church community. Hebrews 10:25 said, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more, meet together as you see the day approaching. We're not looking to run away from each other. We need to be together. Part of being a shepherd, I believe, is providing some sense of peace and some rest for the flock in the midst of it. I want to help dispel some fear in the flock. I want to tell you about a conversation that I had this week at Avon Health and Rehab, one of our nursing facilities. I sat with the director of the assisted living for about 45 minutes, and she told me, medically speaking, not from the media, not from your neighbor, medically speaking, and I'm open to hear other medical counsel as well, but here's the medical counsel I got from the director of our assisted living. I sat with her for about 45 minutes. She's worked with COVID unit for 6 weeks. The results of the research are in at least in our world of the assisted living and skilled nursing side. The information is insurmountable. After working COVID for 6 weeks, breathing the same air as positive people, being an intimate situation, the most intimate, bodily secretions and stooling and vomit and spit and feeding and bathing, she never got COVID. And then she began to tell me how this thing works. And she didn't have a pulpit or a platform. She wasn't trying to say this thing's China or political or about an election. She doesn't care. She just knows how the human body works. She says this, surgical masks and proper PPE, which is personal protection equipment, are useful. They protect you from giving or getting the virus. Cloth masks help you from spreading, but not contracting the virus. Cloth masks are absorbents, not restrictants. So it holds everything in. Those masks catch your spit, which is why it's good for little kids. We don't want them spitting all over each other. And my kids should wear masks all the time. I don't know. They spit all over each other, but it catches your spit, but they are absorbent. So it keeps everything right there, not a restrictant. So I think if you want to wear a mask, proper PPE is good. Just to be aware of what mask that you are wearing. The virus is airborne. We're super aware of sanitizing our handrails, door handles, wiping countertops. However, the virus is airborne. And so unless you're licking the doorknob or snorting the countertop, which some of you might be doing, probably not going to get the airborne from those ways. Air ventilation is key. Being outside actually dilutes the virus. Avon's been opening the windows at night and spreading fresh air around. Shutting down and staying indoors is not the answer. We've been told by our politicians to stay home and you'll be a hero. We've listened to our celebrities, and they've been our health care providers, and they tell us to shut down and stay indoors, and that's the way that you'll save lives. It just simply isn't true. Our own Gary Ott at TLC Management, he says he believes that corona came through the north in the winter whenever it was colder, and we all were indoors. And you didn't hear as much cases in the south because they were all outside. It was cooler. Now that it's warmer here, the north has come outside, and you don't hear as much going on in New York City or Canada cured it. Oh, Canada just came outside. That's what happened. Now the south is spiking because it's so hot, they're all the way inside. Florida spiked, Arizona spikes, Texas spiked, California just shut down. California just said that you're not even allowed to have Bible studies in your home. This is a complete overreach of power. Nursing homes, as they report COVID cases to the IHCA, which is the Indiana Healthcare Association, so too do the hospitals. So let's say Martha tests positive coming out of the hospital and goes into a nursing home. The hospital reports a positive case as well as the nursing home. That doubles the amount of cases that are being reported. If Martha TLC is we test Martha every week. Martha might have COVID for 6 weeks. Martha has 6 positive tests that are coming out. The numbers are just ballooned. So I just want to just distill us a little bit of fear. Maybe where's your fear coming from? And just to kind of maybe get a little more education, because I don't want our flock to live in fear. There's wisdom in distancing. I just believe it. I just believe that there's wisdom in it. However, you've got to be breathing the same air of the virus for at least 15 minutes in order for it to, number one, catch, and number two, for it to, what's the other name? I have it written down here. Just stick to your notes, dude. I've been so good on sticking to my notes. Contract. So if we got someone in Walmart for a split second, we're not going to catch it. Unless you're staring with someone at Walmart, you're staring at the same bag of shredded cheese for 15 minutes, and then you just got deeper issues. So that's there's wisdom in hand hygiene, particularly if you like putting your hands in your mouth. I don't say that as a joke. I just know that we just do a lot of face touching, a lot of hands, in our mouth. With that being said, the homeless population is not suffering from COVID, and they have not a lot of hand hygiene, not a lot of hygiene at all, and not masking up, which is just a fascinating theory. But they're outside, which is helpful. They're not shutting down. They're moving on with their lives. The data is in. The virus is rough on people who already have health complications, compromised immune systems, or they're just vulnerable, like our young babies and children, or our elderly. Some of my friends in the medical world, whenever this thing first hit, they shut down their lives because they were going to be around some people so often and so much. Now these medical friends are traveling all over, and it's kind of funny to see how they've responded now that a lot of the research has come in. I just want to say this with a heavy heart. We can't shut down again. We have to worship. We have to stay there. And we have the freedom to worship, and we have the freedom of peaceful assembly. We have to continue to do that. If you want to wear a mask, please do. Research supports it. Proper PPE is supported. We're not going to make healthy people wear masks. If you want to worship at home, you have the freedom to do that. But we're not going to make everybody stay home either. We're providing a house of God to those who want to gather and who want to worship together. With the recent governor's mask mandate, it does not apply to the church. Churches are outside of the governor's jurisdiction. The Attorney General Curtis Hill doesn't even agree with how the Governor Holden went about this mandate on our Hoosier family. Governor Holden deemed the churches as essential businesses, and we must not close our doors on believing. We must continue to meet. We must continue to worship. We must continue to be the lighthouse of hope in our community. We made many accommodations. We didn't have children's ministry for a long time. We didn't take up the offering. We were going to have VBS, and we put thought and plan into VBS. We've shortened it all into one night, which is tonight. It's a family fun night, and we hope that everybody can be a part of this. We've offered things online, which require a ton of extra work. We didn't do our picnic in the park. We're trying to do Zoom calls through our life groups, our ministry groups, our women's groups. We're trying to make adjustments, and we're trying to figure out the times in which we live, and we're trying to lead. Maybe not always the best, but we're trying. D.L. Trueblood, who is one of our legends in Quaker history, he has a thing called the flower pot theology. He says this: you are a flower. You radiate beauty. You soak in the sun. You receive the rain showers, but you have no roots. And because you have no roots, your growth is limited. He understood the importance of actually getting out of your flower pot. Your flower pot meaning your home, your isolated world, just maybe your one friend or two friends. And to get connected to the bigger body of the garden, which is the body of Christ. I believe that our church has been awesome, even through the shutdown. With tears in her eyes, Lori LaSure gave her treasures report at monthly meeting on Sunday. The last 4 months of giving has been just as steady as we ever have been. When the church is just close, our people continue to give. When we don't meet here, our people continue to support and give. And I want to ask you, please continue to give and please continue to support, because we still have a mission. Even if we don't have a service, we still have a mission. We still are missional in our community. There's still people that are in need of ministry in our community. I know a lot of people have different things going on in the summer, whether you go to the lake, you have vacations, you got baseball, you just stay home to mow the yard. I don't know what you do. But please don't stop giving. Because there's still a lot of ministry that is taking place. And I just want to commend our church. Thank you. We are shining in the midst of suffering. We are leading in the midst of hardships. And we've got to continue to lead and love our community. We can't go anywhere else other than to get roots even deeper into this garden. So what makes this time in history so beautiful is that there's actually a need. There's a desperate longing for Jesus. And we as the church, we just don't come to the church, we are the church, right? You still are the church. We need you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And Jesus didn't shy away from the sick. He didn't fear the leper. He laid his hands all over the leper. He didn't live with fear. He trusted that God was going to protect him, that there was no weapon formed on the earth that was ever going to prosper against him, that the gates of hell would not prevail. He lived in faith. He knew who he was. He didn't listen to all the other voices speaking to him, telling him who he was or what his mission should be or how he should worship or how he should gather. He knew who he was. He had a voice much louder speaking into him, and he laid his hands on the sick. He got around the broken. He got around those that were full of death, disease, disabilities. Those were his people. He didn't lock down, stay away from them. He engaged them at higher levels than he ever had before. So what is feeding your fear? Truly ask yourself. And I just want to encourage you, because there's a paradox here. Is if you could shut your eyes, you'd properly see Jesus. If you could just shut off a lot of intakes and gain a higher altitude of an intake of perspective, you can really see how Jesus would want us to live during these times. Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. So assess the times. Educate yourself. Assess the fear. Lead yourself. Assess the risk. And lead your family. And lead without fear. 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we are not destroyed. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. If you're living in the present, not if you're living on the news or not, but if you're living in the present, you're renewed every day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. For the things that are unseen are eternal. So as we lead through this, I'm leaning on Christ. I've talked to three different pastors. How are you doing this? I've talked to Dan, as he's the leader of our monthly meeting. I'm leaning on Todd as the leader of our MMO. We're in this together. And I'll tell you, as we look at different times in which we've lived, we can value the past, but we need to lead the present. We need to pioneer the future. It's a future that's not full of fear. It's a future that's going to live like Jesus in the midst of all the pain and the suffering. And I would ask you, would you pray for us as church leadership, as those that are making decisions? Would you pray for our MNO? Would you pray for our monthly meeting as we're making decisions? Because we know our mission on the earth, and we want to do it with wisdom. We don't want to be fools about it, but we want to do it with wisdom. and without fear, knowing that the body of Christ has got to be together. This is where the life is. And this is where Jesus will continue to bless us. Thank you, church family, for being awesome during this time. And let's continue to shine through it all. Would you stand with me this morning? We pray and we'll close. I appreciate you giving me a few extra minutes there. But we need some direction on where we're going. Jesus, we just pray for your blessing. God, we ask you for your face to shine upon Fairmount Friends. Jesus, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of God as you would anoint this place with a healing anointing. And when people walk into these doors, that we're not contracting diseases, but we're breaking free of them. Lord, that you would break every bond. Lord, that you would release our people, that we would continue to have the message where we walk in health in this place, because you are our shield and our great reward. You are our rear guard. Father, you protect us. Lord, we do not live in fear, but God, we assess the times, and with wisdom we make decisions. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct the leadership of this church. Lord, we pray that we would continue to have influence and impact in our services and online. Lord, we ask you that wherever the message of the gospel goes, that it would pierce the hearts of men and women, God, that would form the mindset, the mind of Christ. God, we ask you that your church would be liberated and set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that where we're living in fear right now, you would break it off of us in Jesus' name. God, I pray that we would be full of faith and confidence and full of health. God, that we would take seriously our personal health. God, that we would be active participants in this thing. And Lord, that we would engage the broken and the hurting and the lost and the dying and the sick and the leper. God, that we would engage them full of faith just like you did, Jesus. And instead of running from the world, we run to the world. And we run to that. In Jesus' name. Lord, we need your grace, and we need your guts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.